This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, Living Greener, One Decision at a Time. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm talking to you from my basement because I'm going to put some laundry in real quick. All right, here we go. There's always enough laundry somehow to do a load. Americans do a lot of laundry. Now, I found different numbers on this, but anywhere from 2 to 10 loads a week. So how we choose to do the laundry has an enormous impact on the environment. Take detergent, for example. I stopped by a couple of big box stores to see what they were selling. I'm in the laundry detergent aisle, and they have at least 10 different brands, but they're all liquid. Ooh, heavy, so heavy. This is 115 loads, 77 loads. Feels like a kettlebell, you know? Whee! I'm doing a little workout here. A little arm workout. Yeah, this weighs like... In the U.S., liquid detergent is king, which means heavy plastic jugs that take a lot of fuel to transport, and they result in tons of plastic trash. I eventually spotted some powder options. This is much lighter. So much lighter. But of course, there's kind of like powder coming out of it a little bit. I ended up buying the powdered detergent the day I was at the box store because I hate throwing out those giant plastic bottles. And really, I mean, my mom always used powder. I used powder for years. So when and how did liquid detergents take over? Curtis Schwartz is a retired chemist who spent more than 30 years in the chemical industry working on consumer products like laundry. When he started his career...
It was 1986, and in the United States, it was dominated by powder detergents containing phosphates in these enormous boxes.
And he says they worked like a charm.
The world was beautiful, very good cleaning from these high alkalinity phosphate detergents.
He says the phosphates dissolved easily, they were great at getting out stains, but they also ended up in streams and lakes. And since algae needs phosphorus to grow, they led to massive algae blooms, choking out waterways. So eventually, they were banned. Without phosphates, the powder detergents didn't dissolve as well, and they also weren't as effective. Curtis says you were supposed to put them in the washer first, on the bottom, but...
Who listens to directions, right? You put your laundry in first, you overstuff it, you put the powder in, it gets into the folds, and it hardly sees any agitation. So, and then there's a maybe even 0.1% of the time, if you ended up with residue, that's thousands of unsatisfied customers. But that's enough to have a lot of complaints, and they didn't clean as well.
Making laundry matters worse, there was pressure to use less water, to make the wash cycle more energy efficient. There was also a very successful and pretty annoying ad campaign for the first liquid detergent, Whisk.
Ring around the collar! Ring around the collar!
Those dirty rings.
So the pressure was on to develop more liquid detergent options. Curtis remembers the challenges of making the formulations work.
Everything has to be compatible. It can't turn into molasses on a cold day if you leave it in your car and it's cold out. It can't phase separate like salad dressing. Over time, it has to be shelf stable.
And a quick side note here. This issue, Curtis says, also explains the design of those laundry pods that have become so popular.
They have three different compartments, and that's to separate largely incompatible ingredients that otherwise you would have to have a solvent to dissolve to keep it uniform.
That's so funny because I always thought with the pods that they separated them out to make them look cool.
They look cool too, but they separate them out so you can have ingredients that are incompatible and deliver them in the wash bath.
Okay, back to our liquid detergents. More and more liquid options came on the market, and by the early 2000s, they had taken over as the preferred choice, with big environmental impacts.
700 million jugs of laundry detergent are thrown away every single year in the United States alone.
That's Reed Edgar. He's the owner of a company called Spot Detergent.
That figure really, really made it clear to me, like, something has to change.
Reed's company has developed a detergent in a sheet form. It looks kind of like a dryer sheet, but thicker. It dissolves more readily than powder. It's super light, takes up very little space, so it's more environmentally friendly on those accounts. But the box is not designed to look like a, quote, green product, you know, with earth tones and leaves printed on it. It looks bright and cheerful, more like any other cleaning product. And Reed says that is intentional, to get all kinds of consumers to give it a shot.
Make it as easy as possible for the person to try it that one time. And if it looks like a regular cleaning product, we want them to think that it is, because at the end of the day, when you put it in your washing machine, it's doing the exact same thing as Tide or any other brand. It has to work well. Otherwise, people are going back to plastic.
I just bought a whole bunch of different sheet detergents from different companies, and I'm excited to give them a try. But there's one more big topic with laundry and the environment, so let's head back down to my basement.
Choose the wash. I'm going to wash this one hot, because it's sheets and stuff.
A lot of laundry detergent manufacturers are trying to change their environmental footprint by convincing people to choose the cold cycle more often, using celebrities like rapper and actor Ice-T and wrestler Stone Cold Steve Austin to spread the word, like in this Tide commercial.
Hello, my name is Ice-T. Can you spare a few seconds to learn about cold water washing with Tide?
Hi, my name is Steve. Did you know washing in cold can save you $100 a year on your energy bill?
Why wouldn't you turn to cold? It helps the environment.
What? Because Stone Cold said so.
But does this really work compared to using a warm or hot cycle? I talked about that with Craig Bettenhausen. He's senior editor at Chemical and Engineering News, and he covers laundry detergents as part of his beat. He says first you have to understand the it factor in detergents, which are the surfactants, the agents that get the dirt out.
A molecule that's going to help hydrophobic, oily, dirt-type substances get carried away by the water. It has an end that is attracted to water and an end that is attracted to oil, and lets those two mix.
So these surfactants chip away at the stains.
And then a bunch more of those surfactant molecules are going to gather around it and kind of make what's called a micelle, like a little sphere of these surfactant molecules holding on to these particles of dirt or oil or whatever it is. And then that's what's going to then stay in the water as it washes around.
But when you bring down the water temperature,
any chemical reaction slows down, including the reactions that are involved in getting a shirt clean. But the surfactant chemistry slows down more sharply with temperature than, for example, enzyme chemistry. So one of the things they're doing to make these cold water formulations work is they're leaning more heavily on enzymes.
Enzymes are proteins that act as catalysts. They speed up chemical reactions.
So those are taken from nature. These are the molecules that are actually breaking apart the starch or the oil or the protein at a molecular level, so that it's literally ripping the molecules apart so that they are easier for the detergent to pick up. So if you imagine there's a starch stain on your shirt, that's a long biological polymer. It's going to come in and chop that long polymer up into shorter sections. And that's going to let it detangle from the fibers of your shirt. It's going to make smaller things that are more soluble in the water. And it works like that across the different kinds of stains.
And what about odors? Are they affected differently when it comes to cold or warm water?
Odors are one of the more difficult parts for cold water. That's one thing that enzymes can be very effective at, because some of those odors are... the odors get worse as your laundry ages, because that literally is like those are molecules fermenting on your shirt or whatever. So that ends up with a complex soup of biological molecules, because these microbes, these cells, will grow on your you know, old laundry, they'll die, the cells will burst. So having ingredients in there, these enzymes that can really break up those complicated biomolecules can help a lot.
But Craig says if you have something that's really dirty or stinky,
at the end of the day, the heat isn't always going to help. And even if you take a cold water detergent and use it in hot water, it's going to be more effective than it is at cold water. No denying that. It's just that the cold water is enough for most things.
And that's the main message from cold water washing proponents. Even if you go from hot to cold or warm to cold for most of your laundry, it will be a big savings in terms of your energy cost and your carbon footprint. And let's face it, a lot of our laundry is just not that dirty.
For most loads, most cycles, we're overwashing. We're doing more than we have to. We're cranking it up to 11. We can get just as good of a clean with less intensity.
Craig Bettenhausen covers consumer chemistry for Chemical and Engineering News.